I think the initial plan that we put out there was very aggressive. We're taking a look at refining that this year, but we were able to focus in some very key areas, and that's one, power management on distributed computing devices, so end-user computers, desktops, and laptops, and I think you'll see us make some great inroads this coming year on that front. Data centers, which we've been working very hard at for a long time, we've carried out a number of certifications. We continue to refine our floor there and make sure that we're utilizing the latest technologies as we free up floor space, modernizing it for hot and cold aisles, overhead cabling, and power. So those all bring efficiencies with them, as well as virtualization, which we, my colleagues and I talked about on the panel today, has been very, very successful. We have set different ratio targets depending on what operating system and what type of applications we're using, and we'll continue to push that virtualization curve higher and higher, where we'll again get sustainability efficiencies out of it, as well as cost efficiencies and security efficiencies.
You mentioned power management, and that seems to me, at least from the outside, one of the easiest things to do. Talk about how power management works. If you're in an IT organization, or if you're in a non-IT organization, and you go and you kind of think to yourself, hey, power management, I could do this. Right. Is it as easy as it sounds?
It's easy to set the standard and the policy, but executing it across multiple networks is where the difficulty comes. So in an organization like agriculture, where we've got large-scale operations as well as smaller operations federated across the environment, it's, again, easy to put the policy out there and say this is the configuration you should have, but then monitoring that and making sure that everybody's able to actually achieve it is, again, where in the difficulty lies. So in those operations, we've got perhaps 40,000 end users, and we can set a clear configuration for power on, power off. That also takes into account the security settings, because that's one of the critical things. You don't want conflicts between the two. It's fairly straightforward. There's a lot of automated tools out there to do it. You start hopping across multiple environments and geographically dispersed areas with different spans of management control. It's a little more difficult, but I think we're making good inroads, and I think, again, in the next year you'll see us really make some great progress in this area.
And when we talk about power management, let's make sure we're clear. We're not just talking about computers on, computers off, but it's if you walk away from your desk and go to a meeting for an hour, it's the computer not using as much power as it would normally if you're using it. Give us that, how you guys define power management.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. It's really any setting that would change to go to a screensaver mode, to go to standby, to go to hibernate, to shut down, to what we call wake up on land, so that you can make sure a PC shuts down usually it coincides with the security setting of 20 minutes, even though if you do get up, you should log off. We want that to go into a mode that's using the least amount of electricity. So you want it to shut off at the right time. You want it to easily pop back up if someone's just gotten a phone call and it locks up. You want it to pop back on within seconds. So, because again, it uses more energy if it completely shuts down than you're trying to pull the machine back up. So we've got to align the security settings, password settings, our virus and patch scanning, as well as, you know, the 20-minute timeout, what happens after 30 minutes, what happens after an hour, and then what time in the night, depending on where you work, will it pop up, get its updates from a security standpoint, then power back down, and then be ready to come on in the morning.
And obviously there's tools out there. You guys are using one specific software, but there's plenty of tools out there. And that's part of, you said, a broader security set of software and tools. How do those two work together? Because you think power management, then how do you push patches? How do you kind of can do continuous monitoring if there's low power? How do those two meet up?
There are a lot of point solutions out there that will do one piece or the other. We selected a tool that does a lot of our software metering, patching, and scanning updates, can do remediation, helps us with our network and mission control. So a full suite of security functionality, as well as the power management. So it's embedded in one client. What happens is if you have multiple systems or multiple software doing this on systems, you start to get collisions and conflicts between them, and usually the system runs slower. You may hang up. You may not get your software pushed on. You may not get your virus patch update. So we found that a one tool that does the broad majority of those, and we really went out to buy a security tool, but had this great set of software metering as well as power management all in one integrated system has been very, very beneficial to us.
I want to switch over thin clients. You talked about the idea that you guys have been a small user of thin clients, about 1,000 or 2,000 thin clients, but they're not the adoption rate you would hope to have. What are you doing to kind of push those thin clients out and get more people to adopt it? Is there a pushback, or is it just part of that natural cycle of as you refresh desktop, laptops, thin clients just come into play then?
I think it's a little bit of both. We've seen office productivity workers pick up a thin client and they get what they need from, you know, your set of office tools and email, which is a pretty straightforward formula. But when you start introducing a number of disparate business applications and multiple different operating systems, there's a real cost to taking a large portfolio like that, refining it, making it work over a thin client. So I think it's a little bit of both of the things that you mentioned. One is just as it matures. Two, I would say, is there is a little bit of being used to having a highly robust machine on the desktop in which you can do everything locally. So we've got I think, some things to do around getting customers more familiar with the technology, because I think once they've used it, they'll adopt it at a higher rate. So we put one big toe in the water, I'd say, on it. What we've got to do is make sure that we look at our workers and understand what it is they're doing, where they're doing it, and how they're doing it, and make sure that fit is truly something that's going to make them productive, because we know the security, we know the green aspects of it, we know the cost efficiencies we can gain. But we've got to make sure that the productivity is going to be the driver for this. So I think you'll see more and more inroads on this front. We're taking a cautious approach to it, but I think you'll see our numbers raise pretty considerably over the years. One of the things we're going to do in the near future is look at mobile workers and how, again, they're doing the work, what type of work they're doing, and where they're doing it. And I think that may better inform how we approach wider adoption of Thin Client.
We talked a lot about your green, what you guys are doing now. You guys have had a green IT strategy for some time. You're going to relook at that green IT strategy. Where do you see the changes? Where do you see the focus? What kind of time frame until we see a new strategy come out?
I'd like to see something out in the next 4 months that would position us going into the spring to start achieving the targets. I think we took a very aggressive and broad approach, which I think was the right thing to do. The space was not as mature, and I think you saw that and you mentioned it as we were one of the first ones out there to do it. So we took a very broad brush approach. What we want to do is refine that down. I think we want to, again, reach for the stars, if you will, but we want to make sure, okay, we've gone after these three areas that I talked about in my points today, is that's the acquisition, the distributed computing, and the data centers. How do we impact the other areas, and how can we do that along with everything else we're doing and really make the impact we set out to achieve?
Finally, I just wanted to ask you, you said you're going to establish, or you have established, a green IT team to help setting and achieving those goals. Talk about how you set that up. Who's part of it?
There was a twofold effort. There was a small internal team within OCIO that was cross-functional, reached out into some of the program areas as well as other staff offices within the department. And now what we're seeing is with the increased emphasis under the new executive order, 13514, there's a new governance structure all the way up to the secretary. So we're, again, going to look at that and refine what we've done with a IT focus. How does that fold in appropriately with departmental management and with the secretary's council on sustainability?